We read from Psalm 42.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Goodness. Sorry, guys. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
This is the word of the Lord.
God. You may be seated. Thank you so much for sharing that, and thanks for reading the scripture. We always say, if you do not have a Bible, feel free to take this Bible with you and have a Bible. We just want you in the scripture, and so we really do. It was a few decades ago, Nancy and I were newly married. We were still young married, okay? Younger married. By the way, thanks for everybody who celebrated or wished me a happy birthday. I did pass another orbit around the sun on Friday, so thank you all for enjoying it. Nancy made a banana cream pie for my birthday, so that was my breakfast this morning. I just want you to know, the last piece went out this morning. Thank you. But we were quite a little bit younger then, and so I was heading out. We were living in Great Falls, Montana. And this is Montana. I know, just a different culture, different world in here. In Great Falls, in the fall, everybody goes and chases elk or deer to fill their freezer. Okay, that's just part of life. And so I was going to go and chase elk up in the Little Belt Mountains. And so I didn't know where I was going. The rancher said, oh, yeah, go up there. Sometimes we see elk. So I got up really early in the morning, drove way to the back of this ranch, and kind of had on the back of a napkin, here's where I'm going to go. And so worked my way all the way up this thing. And it's a long climb. I climbed a mountain. I was climbing a mountain. I was in much better shape than I am right now. I was packing up there looking and trying to figure out where these elk were. And it was a long day, and I kept going and kept going and worked all my way up to the top. I made a little mistake. When you get to the top of a mountain, just kind of think kind of how things laid out. So you have this mountain, and there's all these little valleys that go down because a mountain has little ridges, and they all meet at the top. So the theory was go to the top on one, step over and go down the other valley, the other side of that ridge. Well, they get really close at the top of the mountain, so I made a mistake and got two over. So just a little, remember our math thing, you know, you got an angle, is it wide? My angle started going wider and wider and wider, and I realized I am going a long ways away. And I probably put 15 miles on that day, but I got going down this, and I thought, I can't go back up, I can't figure it out, I just got to get all the way out of this mountain before I can turn left and go back to where my truck is parked in the back of. And these ranches are not small ranches. This one was probably 70,000 acres, okay? So it was huge. Nobody would have found me. Nancy was waiting for me at a little hotel, and she was going to join me. I will tell you, I made it out, okay? I'm here today. I survived. I did. She was about minutes away from calling the sheriff about this guy who was lost in the mountains. But I got out of there. I was so tired. I knew where I was. You know how you can be lost but know where you are? So I'm lost, but I knew where I was, and I knew somehow the truck is over there, and I just got to walk, and I kept walking and walking. I was out of water, and I was so dry, and I was like plodding along. I told myself, don't sit down on the ground, just take one step. And I was going like this fast. I mean, I got to the top, and I saw my truck. I threw my bag and everything right down on the road and got down there. I had about maybe 2 quarts of water, sat there and drank the entire thing in one sitting and wanted another one. So as I see a water bottle and see the coffee being drank, I was desperate for more water. And I say all this because after all that hiking, all that work, all that heat, all that exhaustion, my thirst was so intense. In fact, I don't think I've ever been that thirsty again or before. I was dry. And I'm using that illustration because this concept of thirst or appetite, as you look back at the scripture, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. We all understand thirst. I am not of the young generation, okay? The young generation has their somehow emotionally attached water bottle. You guys understand what I'm talking about, right? You know? Yep, she got it. Like, my son-in-law, my daughter's like, oh yeah, I got to have a water bottle with me all the time. I'm not sure if they grew up with sippy cups or what the whole deal is, but like they truck water bottles. That, you know, you go to the coffee shop and they got their favorite water bottle and you got all the stickers on it. I mean, you got the whole thing. But so maybe they're never thirsty. I have no idea. You know, I forget. If I do a long road trip, I don't drink for hours. Why? Because I don't want to stop to go to the bathroom, right? Yeah, so I sip on some coffee, but I mean, water, gallons of it. We understand thirst, and we understand appetite, and we understand hunger, and we understand it. And we can understand intensities of it, and we can understand sometimes when it's all just in our head. So we're going to look at that today here. Here's my key thought. An appetite for God is really intrinsic within us, but it's also developed. Thirst can be intensified, but also dulled. And so my question is, do we truly hunger for God? This psalm and Psalm 43 go together. Okay, so I want you to understand that you really would read them. It is a lament, hope, lament, hope, lament, hope, lament, hope. Okay, there's a little pattern that goes through here. This Psalm 42 is actually known as the dark night of the soul. So it's a really hard psalm. Now, it opens fantastic, you know, like, as the deer pants for my water. But you start reading it, you go, wow, he had a tough time. This, like, where are you, God? But I want to probably focus a little bit more on the hunger and the appetite in the midst of this dark night of the soul. So there's a lot we could unpack here. But the first point I want to look at is really our spiritual appetite. Where is our desire for God? Where is our hunger for what is the deepest thing within us? Where can we say, all I want is you, God? Not what you can do for me, but I want you. I want to know you. Hunger and thirst are connected to need, okay? So I want to do that. But they're also connected to desire. And I'm maybe trying to tease out a little bit of a nuance on this. It's different. But hunger and thirst, we're hardwired. If you do not eat, how long are you going to last? Well, some of you, like 3 hours. You know, I know I've seen some of you. But most of us have got enough stored around that we can act a little bit longer, okay? I think it's 40 days. You can really, almost 40, 50 days. People can starve. They can go without food for quite a few days. I think thirst is 3 days. But you have to, I mean, it's built within us. You have to drink water at some point, right? You have to eat food. Eating disorders of all forms and fashion adjust that. And there's the mental thing that walks through this. But intrinsically, you have to eat. So you'll get hungry. Why? Because your body says, I need to eat food. Now, I split this off because it's really kind of connected to desire, that sometimes we can skew what is a need and make it into a desire. Desires can be corrupted and distorted, really to create a hunger-like intensity without the actual need. Okay? How many times does the average American look at their phone? Have you seen that? A lot. It is like in the hundreds, right? Per day. We're talking per day. And have you ever caught yourself like, where's my phone? You know, because we get addicted to that. I mean, we understand that. We understand the intensity, like, I've got to know what's going on. You can get addicted to news. What's going on? I got to see the news today. I get addicted to work. What's my email? Bing, you know, and we're like Pavlov's dog. Bing, oop, I got to look at my email. You know, I we react to things, and there's a distortion that can happen to hunger. Any ism, okay, alcoholism, drug addiction, all of them are tied to something that we say I have to have. One of the biggest lies that any alcoholic will tell you, I can stop at any time. No, you can't. Or else you would not be picking up another drink tonight. You know, you do not have the capacity outside of some support. Yeah, we were talking a couple of Thursday nights ago. We were looking through the topics. So I asked all our small group, here's some of the topics we're going to look through. Prayer, Bible study, fasting. And Sean says, not fasting. Okay, she goes, all right, fasting, I don't want to do that one. You know, then. And we all laugh, yep, none of us want to handle that one. At some point, we will tackle fasting. What does it mean? And fasting is hard. And there's a wonderful quote that I recently read. It said, fasting is simply stopping one bite more before you want to keep eating. Because we think that, just one more. I already make the joke, banana cream pie. Whew, man, I like me saying no. Like, I do not need banana cream pie. I do not need it. But boy, I want it. So we, you know, that understanding of how do my desires get distorted? And I even want to take it, I wonder if hunger and thirst can be dulled by temporary satisfaction, satisfying things. So those things that satisfy us. And you'll hear the joke, I have to do therapy by shopping, right? You've heard that one, yep. Someone goes, yes, you know, I get stressed. I'm going to do therapy by shopping. That is dealing with an internal and emotional, a deep recess within our hearts to go, I am empty, I'm lonely, I'm missing something. The addiction of pornography is trying to satisfy something that should never be satisfied in a digital fashion. It's a distortion of the way God intended it. And pornography is very addicting. And I have good friends that have walked through extreme addiction issues with that and to find themselves free. There are stories across here of people that have walked through alcohol and drugs. I love hearing people's stories because they'll say, oh, yeah, I used to X, and now I this. You know, I've changed my life. I've freed myself from that. And those are things that we do to dull our appetite. We do. We can cause pain. Sometimes, I've even known people, and no offense, okay, so if it's you, man, there's people who, they'll say, yeah, a tattoo is like an addiction. They got addicted to that. And I'm looking at all the tattoos up here. I don't have one yet, okay, so just so you know, I'm not condemning tattoos. But yet. I know, I said that, yet. So, I don't have one yet. I purposely said that, yeah. My wife is going, yet. Yeah, really? Yeah, just someday I'm going to come home, and it's not going to be a butterfly on my butt, okay? But I've heard that phrase. They said, yeah, there's something addicting about the tattoo, the pain that it causes. You know, so it is interesting, all these things that we can get addicted to, and it creates something that is like a hunger. I have to, man, I have to have something with sugar, amen, right there, which is still probably very harmful for me. But there's an addiction to that. And so fasting, once again, is learning how to say no to something. But this thing is really a challenging thing to me to say, how do we handle this? As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet God? I want those words to be my words, and I want those words to be your words. Then in the morning, we can truly say, boy, no matter what, I got careers ahead, I have desires for family, I have desires for relationships, I have desires for vacations, I have all these things, but those are not needs or even hungers or thirsts. They're just wants. C- Because the one desire more than anything I have is I want to thirst for God. I want to desire that. Jesus said it in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We are so often just shallow, really, in about this. Like, we don't hunger and thirst. I think it's, oh yeah, it'd be a pretty good idea. I should do the God thing. I should do the church thing. It'd be really good for my life, you know. I want to go, are you desperate for what God can do in your life? Are you desperate for that? So I actually have some questions. I was just thinking through. These are really deep and they're hard. What is my deepest desire? Think about that. What is your deepest desire? And this is not to be answered right now. Maybe this is this week. What is your desire? Do you need to be loved? There's this deep questions within us that we want to be accepted. What do I want more than anything? What do I want more than anything? How is my life orchestrated around those deepest desires? Somebody one time said, if you show me your checkbook, you know, the spending account, I'll show you what you value, what you do. And I think you could look at, if I see your browsing history, if I see your television, if I see how you manage your calendar, it will reveal. So how is my life orchestrated around those deepest desires? And am I trying to satisfy my spiritual hunger with a spiritual or emotionally junk food? And that can happen. We can dull it. I need to eat good food. I have broken the habit on Oreos, okay? Thank goodness. I don't like Oreos. Man, but every once in a while you get one of those candies or things that you had as a kid. Like, if you've given up Oreos for a long time, like, I'm not going to eat that processed food, and sometimes they come. Somebody brought one to small group. I'm looking at this, and I go, okay, I just got to try it. Just one. Most people, me included, we always stop at one, but usually that's one sleeve, okay, not one cookie. Because once you start, it's like, oh, the crack cocaine. You know, this is so good. I got to have just one more. And then it's terrible. But I can dull my appetite by eating emotionally or spiritual junk food. And thus we deal with people going, I've got deep wounds and I've got deep hurts and I've got deep distrust. And so let me drown it with another drink. Let me drown it with another screen capture. Let me just look at another. We can dull ourselves with television and entertainment. We can dull our emotions with all these temporary junk food stuff. And there is emotional and spiritual junk food. This is not in a condemnation. Part of the process of us as a church is being centered on formation, which means we are slowly working through the process of getting rid of some of those junk food and anchoring it on Jesus. It's the process of doing this, not the perfection. Because you will always be working through this. Because we have addictions. And so there's some things we're going to tackle even this fall that will walk through what are our deepest emotional needs and how am I trying to block that. And we realize there's whole things. Even if I've given my life to Christ, I can still follow things that are unhealthy. I can. You know, I can want to be noticed. I want pride. My ego gets in the way. All those addictions. And Jesus is calling us to be formed. Now this, interesting, that so the scripture starts off with this deep sense of appetite. What is our spiritual appetite? But it also goes into the dark night of the soul. So I want to look at this passage here, and I'll encourage you, even as we go through Psalms in the summer here, I want to encourage you to reread the Psalm this week, okay? So he says, my tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God, under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Adverse conditions create an optimum context for reflection. And I wonder at times if God uses the dark night of the soul to strip away all this. And I'm going to use a phrase, the dark night of the soul. You guys will recognize this. Have you ever had a moment when everything seemed dark, when everything seemed lost, and when you cried out to God, you had no answer? Anybody besides me ever do that? Okay, a lot. Probably all of us. I mean, if you have not, going to raise your hand. I will be a prophet of doom. You will face a dark night of the soul. So sorry about that. You know, sorry for the good news. We will face a time like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, it's a relationship, it's a job, it's a career, it's a health, it's a just a spiritual dry point that our prayers seem like, boom, they're going right off. Why? My heart hurts so much and it breaks, and sometimes it's deep loss. But I have wondered why we go through these. And so the psalmist that is praying here, really, says, why my soul are you so downcast? I found myself, it's interesting, he talks about appetite, then he goes, everything is terrible. So a life orchestrated around feast and famine doesn't always reflect that God is calling us to. If I only cry out to God when I'm desperate, I failed in my relational walk with Jesus. So this is the challenge of this. Because most people, when they hit the bottom, that's when they go, I need help. I'm going to show up. I hit the bottom. Now I'm going to talk to AA. Okay, I've hit the bottom. I need some help to get out of my narcotic addiction. I've hit the bottom, and everything is falling apart. So we tend to go, our humanness is, when everything crashes, then I need Jesus. I've quoted it before, and I'll say it again. There's this old movie I saw decades ago, and it was a Burt Reynolds, so you know it's old. He's like old, and he was trying to kill himself. And at the end of the movie, he swims all the way out in the ocean. I'm going to kill myself. And all of a sudden, he realizes way out there, oh, I want to survive. God, if you save me, I will give you all of my money. I'll give 100%. So he turns around and keeps swimming back. And the closer he gets to shore, Lord, if you save me, I'll give you 90% of everything I own. And he gets closer to shore, Lord, I'm going to give you 50%. You know, and as his feet touch ground, I'm going to give you 10%. And he gets up on the beach and he says, Lord, at some point, I'll give you everything. Okay, but thanks here. So at the point of desperation, we go, I'm going to cry out to God. That is not where God wants us. He wants us to have an appetite for God all the time. Now, the dark night of the soul is great. You know, I've known some people who their marriages are falling apart, or this is going wrong, and their health issue. Come to Jesus, okay? I'm going to say you should come to him when everything is great, because Jesus is calling you all the time. But what better place to be than in the church with a community of people that loves you, is going to walk you through all the hard times. So you're being really foolish, and I say that in a gentle way, in a kind way, to say I'm going to distance myself. I'm not going to be a part of that. No, everything. Have you succeeded with your life apart from Jesus? No, you're a mess, you know. So how do you think you're going to fix it now? Come to Jesus and experience that. There are two dangerous stages in the spiritual life, adversity and prosperity. And the more dangerous of the two is prosperity. It really, truly is. When everything is going good, then we say, I don't. Lord, I'll give you 10%. I'll give you 5%. You know, I keep getting closer and closer to the shell. Lord, at some point, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give everything to you. But thanks so much for getting me safety. And when we get in prosperity, we just start forgetting about it. There's a quote I read, John Calvin. Men are undoubtedly more in danger from prosperity than from adversity. For when matters go smoothly, they flatter themselves and are intoxicated by their success. Wow. Whew. Aren't I awesome? Man, I'm driving the newest car. I drove behind an Aston Martin yesterday, beautiful orange, and it was a nice looking vehicle, you know. And whoever was driving it loved the accelerator, but did not want to get a ticket. So he would go slow, and all of a sudden I could see 1826, it would all open up, and he'd punch it. Boom! You know. But as soon as he got about 100 yards out, I'd see the brake lights go on, he'd slow down, and I didn't catch up to him. So he, like, man, I'm intoxicated. I would never want that car. I would get tickets. There is no way I would not get a ticket, because I would be intoxicated by just the sound of that. Whoa, you know. Yeah, and to me, 120 is awesome. Maybe 150 is even better. You know, I would love that intoxication of that power underneath you. So even if I win the lottery, even if I win the Powerball over here, I am not buying an Aston Martin, okay? And yeah, I'm talking to you right there, so. If she wins the Powerball, 10% is coming to the church. Pay off that mortgage right away. Yeah, we're awesome. We have a tendency, though, to satisfy our deepest hungers with temporary fixes, don't we? Isn't it the truth? Unwilling to explore. So we try to, all these deep places, we don't want to explore the deep places. And instead, we settle for the sensational dopamine fix of our shallow pleasures. And sometimes, We have all done this. I'm joking with you, but we've all said, if I could win the lottery, you know, if I could win the lottery, I would do this, this, and this, and this. Most people would say, if I win the lottery, I'm going to give 10% of my money away. I would almost guarantee that most people who win the lottery do not start giving away. That's their promise ahead of time, okay? Please do. She's made the promise, so. But we laugh, but we like the dopamine fix instead of going into the deep place and saying, God, right now I don't hear your voice. So our human, modern society says, Lord, things are rough. I think the best answer would be this 10-part Netflix series that I can plug in. I'm gonna go blow my mind and just watch it. I'm gonna be diverted. Instead of sitting back and saying, why, what, Lord, are you going to speak to me? I've often thought, here's our challenge to fast. What if you decided to fast, and you can choose whatever you want to? All social media, all television, just think if you laid out some fast levels and say, I'm going to do this for the next month. We would be twitchy for the first day, and maybe we'd get twitchy for the first month because we would hear our voices. We'd hear our own thoughts. We could hear our mind. We could hear each other. And God calls us to something. And it can be distorted. It can be legalistic. It can be all that stuff. But I do believe God is calling us to develop an appetite for him. And he ends with this really a renewed hope. So I said the whole psalm goes lament, hope, lament, hope, lament, hope. And that's that pattern. And so he ends with that. Let's go to verse 11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And he ends with this little passage. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. There's a sense of renewed hope that comes in there. So in the dark night of the soul, God uses the empty void of our pain and isolation to refine our hunger for him, stripping away our fixes by revealing its inabilities to solve the real issues of life. And I believe that God walks us through this. Now, I don't want you to go through dark times. I don't want to go through them. There's no pleasure in that. There's no, like, unless you're sick, I'm going to go through dark. Yeah, just bring on the pain, come on. But when we walk through that, let us take advantage and say, Lord, will you strip away? I think the healthier dose is when we walk through spiritual formation that says, Lord, this week I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you than I was last week. So what do I need to strip away right now? And if you feel like you have nothing to strip away in your life, I will help you find that. Or somebody you love will find that. And I'll go, yeah, you've got some. You've got some. If you don't think you do, that's called a blind spot because you don't see it, okay? There is no perfect person in here. But Lord, help me to put my trust in you. As a deer pants for the water, Lord, my soul pants for you. That is my desire to honestly say that. And it's my desire for each one of you to say the same thing. Here's our reflection points at the end. I'll have you guys, you can kind of come out, start making your way up. What are the favorite patterns you use to distract and dull yourself? Okay? So here's your first one. These are things, this is your homework assignment, okay? And it's kind of sounded like that way, but I want you to meditate on this week. Pull one of these questions and say, I want to make this my meditation this week. What are your favorite patterns you use to distract and dull? Is it Netflix? Is it movies? Is it entertainment? Is it gaming? Is it, whatever? Is it something liquid, something solid, something you snort up your nose or whatever, What is the distortion that you use to distract and dull? Some people, it's workaholism. I'm just going to go work until I'm done, fall asleep. What do I do to distract me from the deep pain and the willingness that I need to confront? Lord, you have changed my life, but I'm still gripped by unforgiveness. Lord, you have changed my life, but I'm still inability. I don't want to think through the pain that I had as a child. Lord, you've changed my life, but I don't want to talk through these issues in my deepest parts of my soul. And so we distract ourselves. And what are the patterns you use? Number two, how is your thirst for God doing? Okay, that's just simply right out there. You're even watching right now streaming. How is your hunger and thirst for God? You've been still popping those spiritual or emotionally Oreos out there to dull it, the junk food that's there, or are you willing to say, God, I want to have you speak to me? And the last one is, I just want you to understand, it's really not a reflection question for you, but it's a statement. Do you know that God's desire and hunger to know you and transform you, it'll always be your greater than your desire to be known? So I say this, that God says to you, would you come to me and say, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you. Do you understand that Jesus has a hunger and a thirst for you to come home more, and it'll be greater than even your hunger and thirst? Jesus desires to know you. That's an amazing thing. That is a God that is worth submitting to. That is a God. This is not a God that's up there and saying, bring me your offerings. Bring me your, I'm Odin, I'm Thor. You got to sacrifice it on the altar. You know, he says, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to change your life. So he's worth submitting your life to. Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for your amazing grace, your mercy, your love. And even your hunger, if I could use that word, your hunger and your desire to be in relationship with us. Thank you, Jesus. You desired for us to be free once again, that you became a person, a human, suffered and went through everything that we go through, yet did not sin. Then you gave your life and died upon a cross so there would be victory over light, death, that we could find freedom from all of those sin and death that confront us. We can find freedom in you. And Jesus, that was your desire. You paid it all. And Lord, we want to pray simply as the story that Heidi shared. Lord, I don't want to ask for things. I just want you. So God, build an appetite within us today, a hunger to know you, a hunger to gather each week, multiple places and homes or in this building, a hunger that we want to lift up our words of praise to you, hunger that we want to commit to relationships, to doing life together. We want to get up in the morning and just hunger for your word and sit in your presence and pray to know you. Lord, put that desire in us now today. In your name. Would you stand to your feet? We're just gonna, I'm gonna let the worship team just lead us in one song. Make the song just your prayer. I'll dismiss us with a blessing at the end. I'm gonna have Nancy come up here. I guess we have just Nancy. If you want somebody to pray with you, just come find your way forward. Just have her pray. Because we don't want anybody to leave here if they're carrying a need. God can do miracles.